Thank you all very much for coming. You know, I woke up this morning, like I do just about every day in Anchorage, Alaska, and I said, what a great day to live in Anchorage, Alaska. Anybody else feel that way about this great town? I do. You know, can the mayor take credit for the weather? What do you think, guys? I see some nods, so I'm off to a good start. I'm off to a really good start. Well, I'm both humbled and honored to be selected to serve as your mayor for the next 3 years, and there are so many people to thank. I'm sure I'm going to probably miss some, but here goes. And first and foremost, I'd like to start by thanking my family, starting with my lovely wife, Lynette, and my daughter, Jennifer. Thanks, you guys. Jenny just graduated from college with honors. My wife's an award-winning kindergarten teacher. So just within the family, they set the bar pretty high for my job as mayor. And in fact, they told me, try and keep up, okay? And so I've got a tough task here. I'm so pleased that my father, George, is here. He obviously needs no introduction. And thank you, Bernadette, for the introduction. You know, there's times when I truly believe he knows everyone in Alaska. And if not them personally, he knows their cousin. You know, George Sullivan has given so many decades of service to his city, his state, and his country, including serving this city as mayor for 14 years. He really is a tough act to follow, but I'll do my best. My brothers and sisters, Tim, Kevin, Colleen, George, Mike, Shannon, Casey, they're all here, as well as my brothers and sisters-in-law, nieces, nephews, grandnieces, grandnephews, nieces-in-law. I mean, I think we've got some second, third cousins. It's just, you know, if you could just get them all to vote for you, you'd be in pretty good shape. But it's, you know, not with us today, but certainly here in spirit is my mother, Margaret, Egan Sullivan, my brother, Harvey. I miss them every day. I know how proud they would have been at this moment. My mom was my biggest cheerleader, as she is with all of her kids. So it's a great moment. You know, the inauguration, the swearing-in, it's really the culmination of a process that starts with a political campaign. I want to thank all the great folks that worked on my campaign, way too many to mention, but you know who you are, and I see many of you out in the audience. You know, over 1,500 people donated to this campaign. Many, many dozens of people volunteered in the office and out waving signs, and I really, truly appreciate your support, and I thank you. To the professionals who have joined our new administration, not only am I grateful for your dedication to the city, but Anchorage residents can be assured that the management of their city is in very experienced hands, and it is just this kind of experienced leadership that we need during these challenging times. I guarantee you that every member of this team that has come forward to serve the city could be making more money in the private sector, but they understand the two words that will characterize our administration, and those two words are public service. Thank you. We've got, I think, a lot of the team members here in the audience today. If you would stand up when I do say your name, just so folks can put a face to a name, because, you know, when they do have a problem with the city, they should know who they're going to call, and you're the ones. So it's because I'm going to delegate that stuff, just so you know. So far, our new team members, some of them are very familiar to the residents of Anchorage. Larry Crawford is serving as chief of staff. Larry. And go ahead and just hold your applause till I got five or six. George Vicalis, city manager. Where's George? Just go ahead and say. Greg Jones, director of community and economic development. Dennis Wheeler is our new municipal attorney. Nancy Usera is our director of labor relations. Cheryl Frasca, director of the Office of Management and Budget. Sarah Erkman, our communications director. And Betty Faber, Jacqueline Duke, and Jay Jackson as our executive assistants. There'll be more appointments forthcoming, of course, and there'll also be many executive employees who are doing a great job for the city. We're going to ask them to stay and keep up the good work that they're doing. Thank you. There you are. We have a great city staff. We really do. Yeah. Well, I would also like to thank the 60 or so members of the transition team that they did an amazing amount of work for volunteers, kicking the tires, looking under the hood of city government, and reporting on the operational challenges that lie ahead. And also in their reports, you also find reports on a lot of the good things the city is doing, and that's what we wanted. We wanted that balanced kind of report because we are doing a lot of good things. In fact, if you look at the city roads and how they've been swept compared to the state roads, you'd see just what kind of good work we are doing out there. And for our state representatives, Nancy, some of those others, call those DOT guys, will you? I also want to thank our transition staff and the key volunteers on the transition, Casey Reynolds, Jay Jackson, Stephanie McSwain, and the indomitable Larry Baker. I don't know if Larry's here or not, but he's a... Oh, there's Larry. Thanks, Larry. You did extra service there. And then, you know, let's give another round of applause for Chris Morin and Chanel Pollard, who sang the national anthem and the state flag song. You guys were awesome. You know, not even in the shower on the best of days do I ever sound close to that. So it's I've got great respect for people that can sing like that. You guys are awesome. Same for the Anchorage Scottish Pipe Band. Tremendous as always. Yep. And Boy Scout Troop 215, I think, which was helping with ushering and handing out programs. Thank you, Boy Scouts. Father Norman Elliott, what can you say about Father Elliott? That, holy cow, you know. No, it's just, thank you so much for the invocation, Father Elliott. You know, Father Elliott has, and I have something in common. From 1951 to 1952, we both lived in Enana, Alaska. Now, I was a newborn baby, and he was, well, not so new. But he was still a young minister starting his career in Alaska, and now 58 years later, we meet again on this special occasion, and I thank you for your friendship to myself and to my family over those many years. Thank you. Yep. Our Master of Ceremonies tonight, Bernadette Wilson, thank you for your hard work coordinating this event, as well as, yes, thank you. As well as the good folks at Catholic Social Services, our sponsors, and our other volunteers, Angelina Burney and others. And again, if I start naming names, I'm going to miss people. So again, thank you all. To the mayors assembled on stage today, you know, every one of us owes you a debt of gratitude for your public service. George and Jack and Tony, Tom, Rick, George, Mark, Assemblyman Matt, you know, we've known each other over the years in different capacities, and you each brought a different philosophy, a different management style. You had different goals for our city, but I think I can speak for you in saying that the one thing that you all shared in common is a deep and unwavering love for this great city of ours and a commitment to leave Anchorage better when you left office than when you started. And I share that passion, and today I renew that commitment. Thank you. Thank you all very much. Well, my final thank you is also the start of my formal remarks, because the two really go hand in hand, and you'll see what I mean. And it's my thank you to the Marine Color Guard. To all of our men and women in uniform, and to those veterans who've served before you, I say thank you and God bless you. Yep. America and people throughout the free world owe you a debt of gratitude that can never be adequately repaid. You know, Anchorage has always had a very special relationship with our military. My administration will work diligently to not only maintain but to strengthen that relationship. When your military service is through, I hope that you're the kind of citizens that choose Anchorage as your final home. These are the kind of folks we want living here. It's just the best of the best. Whenever possible, I'm going to work with our congressional delegation, Mark, and our state leaders who are out here to advocate for the pay these people deserve while you're in uniform, the benefits they deserve when their service is through. If we can give billions of dollars to companies that are failing out there, and we can't adequately pay these guys for the work that they do, that is just not right. It's not right. You know, I ran for office on a platform that I don't think is an unfamiliar platform amongst mayors. We all talk about the outstanding quality of life that we enjoy in Anchorage, Alaska. And I emphasized four key areas that I think are really essential to maintaining that quality of life. And these four areas will be of immediate attention to my administration. The first item, of course, is the development of a responsible budget that's conservative in its revenue estimates and controls spending. Our recent revenue projections show that this year's budget, despite the good work by Mayor Matt and the recent assembly reductions, may still be short by several million dollars. And we're going to take immediate action to control city spending. We're going to be implementing an immediate hiring freeze. We're curtailing all travel. We're going to manage our overtime more strictly. And we're going to eliminate all unnecessary expenses and positions, because we have to do it. Thank you. You know, when citizens give up their hard-earned money to government, they have the right to expect that that money will be spent wisely and effectively, and we're going to do just that. Yep. Thank you. Great. You know, with the budget challenges that we're facing, I'm also going to reach out to the community and ask you for your additional support. Anchorage is famous for our charitable giving and for our volunteerism. And I'm going to call upon the individuals and the business community to redouble their efforts this year so we can continue to provide services to those of us in our community who are most in need. And like I say, Anchorage has always been very, very generous, and we're counting on that generosity again this year. Thank you. You know, it's also essential during these challenging times to work effectively with our state and national leaders. I have an outstanding working relationship with Governor Palin and her staff, with our state legislative leaders, with Congressman Young and Senator Murkowski, and I look forward to working with Senator Begich in his new role. Philosophical differences are quickly forgotten when you have the common cause of doing what is best for Anchorage and for Alaska. And again, I look forward to working with you, Senator. You know, we're going to put together a legislative plan that combines state and federal resources, help leverage our local funding so we can accomplish our community improvement goals and keep Anchorage moving forward. You know, the second most important responsibility in government is to provide a safe community. We cannot enjoy the quality of life that we expect and deserve if we're fearful of crime in our streets and in our public places. You know, we're got a mixed blessing. You know, overall crime in Anchorage, Alaska is down, but unfortunately, violent crime is on the rise, and that's just simply unacceptable. Aggravated assault is up 60% in 6 years, robbery up 59%, simple assault 35%, and the terrible crime of rape is up 8% in our community. But when you're already one of the nation's leaders in that horrible statistic, any increase is unacceptable. You know, I had the privilege a couple weeks ago, just out of the blue, I get a call from the office of Rudy Giuliani. And Rudy's in town, and he wants to meet with me. And so, of course, I told him, well, I'm kind of busy. But I had a great meeting with Mayor Giuliani, and we had a chance to talk about crime and how do you deal with it. When he first ran for mayor of New York, that was his platform. And he knew that if he didn't deliver, he wouldn't be a second-term mayor of New York, where quite frankly, the ratio of Democrats to Republicans, he ran as a Republican, is about 10 to 1. So he had to perform, and he had some good advice for me. You know, one of the things that he did that people thought was impossible in cleaning up Times Square and other areas in New York was he established a zero-tolerance policy on visible minor crimes because he knew they lead to bigger crimes and an attitude that the community just doesn't care. So that was his first goal. And second, he did something that I've read, the chief of police of Chicago has also said, one of the best ways to fight crime is you put your cops where the crime is, and that is what we're going to do. And how do we know where to put them? Well, one of the first initiatives that we're going to introduce is we're going to audit how we deploy our police department and make sure that they're in the right places at the right time. You know, we've got a great police force. They're highly trained. We've added over 80 officers over the last few years, and we need to make sure this valuable public resource is being used to its best and highest use. So that'll be our first initiative. When it comes to public safety, obviously we can and we must do a better job. Every citizen has the right to feel safe in our community. A third point that I worked on during the campaign and talked about, and it was basically how to spend our capital dollars. You know, we've built some wonderful new buildings over the past few years, including the museum expansion, our new convention center, and I have fully supported these facilities because I truly believe great cities are known by the quality of their public facilities. If you think about any great city in the world, that's one of the first things that comes to mind is, you know, their museums and convention centers and other public facilities. But it's time, however, for us to look inward and focus on maintaining our existing public facilities. Now, during my time on the Assembly, we supported Mayor Begich's administration in a renewal program for our Project 80's facilities, including new roofs and other major improvements. The new Parks Foundation has done a great job leveraging money to help stretch our bond and grant dollars for park improvements. My administration will continue and expand those efforts. For example, when people pay hundreds of dollars an hour to use our ice rinks, they actually have the right to expect showers and bathrooms that actually work. I think that's not asking too much when you pay those kind of prices for our facilities. You know, our maintenance division has a long list of priorities. We're going to do our best to catch up. We have an obligation to the community. When we build something, we need to maintain it, and that's going to be the focus of our capital program going forward. Thank you. The fourth thing I talked about, and maybe even the most important, we're facing an energy crisis that requires an immediate solution. And again, it may be the most single important issue facing us today. 40 years of cheap and accessible Cook Inlet gas has allowed Anchorage to grow and to prosper. We use that gas for both our heating and our electrical needs. And those supplies are dwindling. And without a plan to provide energy for Anchorage's future needs, we will not continue to progress as a city. More urgently, peak demand during the winter months, particularly when the temperature drops below zero, they have put our entire system in jeopardy over the last 2 years, and this is unacceptable. I will appoint an administration official to work at the top levels of government and the top levels of industry to develop an energy plan and to secure energy supplies that will lead to a secure energy future for Anchorage. Again, I can't emphasize enough how important this is to all of our residents and to all of our businesses. Thank you. You know, one of the characteristics that makes Anchorage such a unique place to live is the diversity of our population. You know, we celebrate that diversity every year. We have Diversity Week, is now Diversity Month, but I want to take that celebration in a slightly different direction. You know, four times Anchorage has been an all-American city. What does that mean to be an American, an all-American city? Should we be celebrating the fact that we're different? Or the fact that all of us share certain universal values that whatever cultural, despite whatever cultural or ethnic differences we may have, we celebrate those same values. People from all over the world come to America so those universal values can be realized. Don't we all want the opportunity to raise a family in a secure environment, to get a good education, to worship freely, to have a job that is rewarding, to maybe start a business of our own someday, express our political views in a public forum? Aren't those the things that unify us and are truly worthy of celebration? I think they are. You know, the reason people cross the ocean in flimsy rafts and stow away on jet engines or cross desert borders to get here is the fact that those unifying principles are what makes America great. So our administration will be promoting a community celebration known as All Americans Week with the theme, Respect Diversity, Celebrate Unity. I hope all of you will join in this special community celebration as we move it forward. You know, I'm a fourth generation Alaskan. I've grown up with our Native people, and I have so many friends in the Native community. And I want to pledge to our first people that my administration will work hand in hand to make sure that a culture of mutual respect and dignity will be our standard and will be expected throughout this community. I look to our Native leaders for your wisdom, for your advice, and as more people from rural Alaska move to Anchorage, we will need to work cooperatively to make sure these new residents don't just find a place to live, we're going to make sure they truly find a home. You know, my wife and I on Sunday had the opportunity to meet Peter Kolar. He's the ambassador from the Czech Republic, and his lovely wife as well. You know, he told us what it was like in 1989 during what they call the Velvet Revolution, when communism fell. And, you know, he told us after 50, 60 years of oppression by the Nazi and communist regimes, how his country finally achieved democratic freedom. He told me how grateful his country will always be to America because he recognized that without the efforts of President Reagan and the American people, their freedom would not have been possible. Well, how is that relevant to what we're talking about today? Well, I relayed to him what was going on in Anchorage, Alaska, with the recent discussions in the assembly chambers where the discrimination ordinance and the issue of the Kinnickarm Bridge literally brought hundreds and hundreds of people who clearly do not agree to the public square to testify, to let their feelings be known. I told him how some people contend that this public disagreement tears our community apart. And he gave me this wise smile, and he said, Ambassador Kolar reminded me of one very, very important thing. He said, the essential element of democratic freedom is the freedom to disagree. For so many decades, disagreement in his country meant imprisonment or worse. In America, the right to disagree is taken for granted, but it really is something special. And sometimes that disagreement does get emotional, and sometimes it does get loud. But you know what? Democracy is like that. It's sometimes it's messy, it's sometimes unruly, but it works better than any other system. And we're extremely fortunate to live in a country where public disagreement is not a crime, but a healthy part of the process. You know, we don't expect people to always agree with the decisions made by our administration going forward, but we will always respect your right to disagree, and we will always lead by example in keeping the discussion civil and the process open to everyone that wants to participate. Well, finally, I received a letter from the owner of a company from Indiana, a company that's been in business since the 1870s, and they recently purchased one of our prominent local businesses. Well, while he was in town, I got a chance to meet with him. I've had some good meetings over the last few weeks, as you can tell. He was in town. I was able to brag about Anchorage, brag about our fair city, our strong and diversified economy, our well-educated workforce, our parks, our trails, our unsurpassed natural setting, our unique and wonderful native culture and heritage, and the seemingly unending opportunities to be successful. You know, it seems like when visitors come, whether it's our family, we always appreciate these things more because we get the chance to show it off to others. So he sent me a letter, and he thanked me for the briefing, and he complimented me on my passion for Anchorage. But more importantly, he related the thought that someone had told him many years ago. He said, if someone goes into public service seeking power, fame, or fortune, they will ultimately find themselves disappointed and disillusioned. But if you go into public service for the right reasons, to make your community a better place to live, then you will be extraordinarily rewarded. I hope that when my time as mayor is through, both myself and the citizens of Anchorage will indeed feel extraordinarily rewarded. I only made one promise during the campaign trail. I repeat that promise a lot, and that is a very simple one. I will work every single day as your mayor to make Anchorage a better place to live. Thank you, and God bless you.